Greetings, this is Lori LaCarle, your host for the Raise Your Vibration About Alzheimer's Telesummit. I'm so happy that you're here, and I think you will be too. Our topic today is Time Out, Take Care of You. And here to fill us in on how is Kimberly Rinaldi. Hello, Kimberly.
Hello, Miss Lori. Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for taking your time out to help us. Much appreciated.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's our pleasure as well, trust me. So I'd like to share some very interesting information about Kimberly. Speaker, author, and radio show host Kimberly Rinaldi shares her decades of experience as a certified master trainer of hypnotherapy, EFT, NLP, success coaching, Reiki, and other healing modalities, and as a psychic medium and medium, apologize for that. She also uses her intuitive abilities and skills to help clients achieve their goals in the quickest and most effective manner. In the spirit of empowerment, she provides you with tools you can use for a lifetime. After creating a highly successful private coaching practice, she now teaches Lessons in Joyful Living through her daily radio show on the Lessons in Joyful Living radio network. With millions of monthly listeners, Kimberly, her guests, and her team of hosts are touching and empowering others, proving you have the ability to break through any and all barriers. Having personally come from a background that included domestic violence, childhood abuse, substance abuse, and self-abuse, Kimberly found she was constantly making poor choices well into her 20s. Essentially, she was reliving the trauma and drama she had experienced growing up. Then at 28, recently married, job change, new home purchased, and major health crisis challenges, four out of the top 10 life stressors, Kimberly realized she didn't want to live that way anymore. Stressed, hurting, angry, and feeling the burden of shame and guilt of her past and her choices, she realized she wanted to be happy. Even more so, she wanted to be joyful. She applied the tools, skills, and trainings she had mastered and made the decision to heal her life. The next step in her growth was coming out of the psychic closet. While Kimberly's connection to the spirit world started at a young age, she chose to suppress it as she got older. It wasn't until she'd had a life-altering, life-affirming, life-between-life's experience that she understood this was the final piece of the puzzle for her. Kimberly ultimately believes there is a lesson in everything, and when you can bless the lesson, you have found the healing. You are not your past, and you have the ability to be better than where you came from. Her passion for helping others heal and find joy in their lives is evident in her commitment to sharing all that she has learned and experienced through her own healing process. For these reasons, Kimberly launched LIJL as a radio network in August of 2014, partnering with hosts on her network to bring their voice, vision, gifts, and lessons to others. As she states, finding your lesson in joyful living is only half of the equation. Sharing it with others is truly why you're here. Kimberly spent over 20 years working in the healthcare field while concurrently partnered or primary in developing other business ventures, all the while perfecting her mind science and metaphysical skill set, tools, and abilities. She currently lives in Whittier, California with Mr. Rinaldi, Bazenji, and Ragdoll Fur Babies. Did I say that incorrectly?
Bazenji, you got it right. First try out. Good.
Cool. All right. Thank you. She enjoys yoga, reading, and travel. When home, you'll likely find her hanging out in her gardens. Most importantly, she balances her busy life by living and teaching others to live joyfully. Wow. That is incredible. I was going to say kind of like a resume, you know? Just, woof, wowee. Fascinating.
All of that crammed into 50 short years of life on this planet, and there's still more. Still.
A lot.
Seriously, wow. Lori, again,
well,
thank you for having me. And I truly love being able to share all of my experiences. And I'm the inveterate student, so I'm always learning and always disseminating that information.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing so much, because it's, you know, my thing is, you know, we're focusing on the Alzheimer's topic, but mm-hmm. for people that are dealing with that, it's one of multiple issues that they might be dealing with in their lives. You know, I know for me, Alzheimer's isn't the only topic I'm dealing with. So, you know, I appreciate you sharing those things, because it helps people to realize that everything that you share today is good for everything in their lives.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I really key in on with people. It's whatever you learn from me, don't just apply it in that one little segmented part of your life that you learned it for. Apply it across the board. Share it with other people. These tools are really life-changing.
Exactly. Yes, thank you for the reminder. So true. So true. All right, so would you like to start with one of my favorite topics, which is the Reiki?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
So I'll be honest. I'm a Reiki master trainer, and I teach other people how to do it. And I'm going to stand up and come clean with your listeners. And participants, and you as well, Lori. My first Reiki experience, I remember sitting there thinking, well, that was a waste of 20 minutes. I got nothing. I felt like Charlie Brown in the Halloween episode where everyone thought, I got a candy bar. So I got a rock. I got nothing. Nothing out of it. And I thought, what a load of hooey. This is just, seriously, and I share this stuff. I thought, this is, who is paying to have this done because they need their head examined? And then. Because honestly, the teacher comes when the student is ready, and the tools come when you're ready to receive them. Mm-hmm. About 4 or 5 years later, I was at an event, and long story short, I describe it as life-altering. It's not the one that I share in my bio, but it was starting in that direction. At the end of the event, the woman said, you know, I'm going to take healing moments with people if you want to line up. And she approached me and she asked, you know, what I wanted healed. And there was a long line of people. And I said, you know, just a blessing, whatever you've got, I'm willing to accept. And she was using Reiki, and she put one hand on my occipital ridge on the back of my head and the other hand over my heart center. I smelled ozone. I heard static in a way that I cannot describe. And I opened my eyes several minutes later. I went down completely. And
God.
Yeah. And she's a faith healer. I mean, and I went down. I have Baptist family. I describe it as going down like being in a tent revival. It was. And I could barely walk. I was shaking. I got assisted to my seat. And my girlfriend who was with me, she kind of leans over and kind of laughs. And she's like, that was really funny. Did you do that on purpose?
Oh my gosh.
I looked at her and she's like, oh, crap. That wasn't for funny, was it?
Oh.
No, I went down. The interesting thing was, it was such a tremendous experience, just the peace that came over me. And this woman is noted for major healing work. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go back and revisit this Reiki thing. And I started doing research, and I started training with people, and then I started using it in my practice. And I've seen what we would call miraculous healings over the years. And I'll share briefly, my father in 2016, March of 2016, was told the leukemia we had been battling for years was now at a point where nothing on the market was working. We were told, get ready to make peace with the inevitable. He walked out of his oncologist's office and he broke down in tears and said he wasn't ready to die. And I remember thinking, he was very close-minded about a lot of the work I did, and I remember thinking, I wish I could do something for him. But we both came from the healthcare industry. We were following that track. And my girlfriend, who was with me at this event years earlier, pulled me aside the next day and said, you know what you're going through. I'm so sorry to hear about your dad. why don't you take him for a Reiki session with this particular healer? And I said, oh, he won't have that conversation. It's not even a possibility. And she said, just try. And I called him, and he agreed to go, and she offered him healing from his cancer, which I thought was a little unorthodox. In fact, I was a little pissed off coming from healthcare. Yeah, you know, things like malpractice and all kinds of stuff was going through my head.
Yeah, bells go off, right?
Right. And she did a Reiki session on him, and at the end, she helped him sit up. I was in the room with him, and she declared, your cancer is gone. And then I cringe at it to this day because I got so angry. How do you tell somebody that? We left, and my father was very pragmatic about it. You know, we kind of joked about it, and we went to lunch, and the long story, longer on this, is 2 weeks later at his oncologist's office, the oncologist came in shaking his head, dropped the paperwork on the counter, and I thought, here we go. This is the beginning of the end. And he said, I don't know what to tell you. We've run the test multiple times. There is no trace of the leukemia after all these years. It's as if a miracle's taken place.
Wow. Oof.
Yeah. And
that's amazing.
You know, the caveat to that is my dad did pass away 8 weeks later from a cerebral hemorrhage. It was his time. But he was given the last 8 weeks absolutely free from leukemia, off all chemo meds, just feeling fantastic and getting to spend that time with family.
Wow.
So, and I remember when I asked him to go, my thoughts were, if we don't get anything other than just the peaceful passing that I was hoping for, that would be the gift in and of itself. And he got so much more. And in the last 10 years, I have been such a big advocate of Reiki use for that reason. Yes, I see miracles happen, but more importantly, I see people reach such a peaceful state from accessing this universal life energy that we call chi or Reiki or Holy Spirit. I mean, we've got 100 different names for what it is. It's that life force within us.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, powerful stuff.
I love that personally.
Yeah. I'm a big advocate for helping caregivers. You and I have had this conversation, and I kind of wanted to circle around to it today, and I know we had talked about it, but caregivers are so lost in the process. Every ounce of energy and effort and strength and steel is for, you know, doing what they need to do for their loved one. And I come from a healthcare background. We often lose caregivers before the cared for, because they put themselves on the back burner. They become the last priority. And frankly, if you're not going to make yourself the first priority, you're not going to be here for those who rely on you.
Exactly. And for the rest of your loved ones, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love Reiki for that reason. It really is a balancing tool. It brings peace. It brings healing. It brings so much.
I agree. I feel the benefits on every level. I really do. Can't say enough about it, honestly.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be able to share that little story, that little experience in my life. But it started with me as an absolute skeptic. So for those of you who are sitting there thinking, I've tried it, it didn't work, I didn't like it, I don't, you know what, maybe you weren't ready. Try again.
Right.
Try again.
Yeah, exactly. You have to have some type of openness, even if you're not aware of it, you know, on some level, like with your dad. Obviously, on some level, he was open to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it was kind of interesting because these are things he never discussed with me while he was alive. I'd start talking about the work I did and do, and he'd get up and walk out of the room. We were
really?
Catholic. This was not acceptable.
Oh, yes. Wow. Well, and you can be all of the above, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Here's the thing. We have an innate ability within each and every one of us. It is in our DNA coding. Perfect health is there. Mm-hmm. Find the methodology that helps you get there, whether it's a profound feeling of peace, whether it's, you know, radical remission and miraculous healing, or whether it's just that space in between. Find what you need to get you there.
Mm. I love that explanation. It's simple and to the point. Love it.
Thank you.
Mm. Now, I know when we originally talked about all of this, you said that helping caregivers is one of your favorite things, one of your favorite topics.
It is.
So
it is.
Besides the Reiki, what do you suggest for caregivers?
You know what? I'm going to be blunt, if that's all right with
Please.
You.
Absolutely, yes.
You have to put yourself in the center of your universe. That is what you're here for. You cannot help a single damn person if you are not capable of caring for yourself. We, especially as women, and I'm not maligning men, but as women we're taught to be caregivers and to put everybody else first. And I talk about that last cookie experience. You could put 10 women at a table, one cookie on the damn plate, and each one of us is going to do the, oh, I couldn't possibly, oh, I've had too much for, a man will walk in the room, glance at the table, grab the cookie, walk out without a single regret or thought.
Exactly. I was going to say, they won't even think about it.
Meanwhile, every woman at that table is thinking, damn it. Take the cookie, ladies. You know, metaphorically, take the cookie. Yep. You cannot fill another human's glass without having your pitcher filled first.
Mm-hmm.
And it frankly, it saddens me to see so many women do the no, you go first mentality. And again, I'm not maligning men. They just weren't given a lot of this nonsense that we were given as young ladies. You know, take your turn. Let them go first. It's not nice to want things. It's not nice to ask for things. And boys were taught differently. And I think that double standard needs to stop. Put yourself in the center of your universe. You are the most important person in your life. I don't care what role you play. And Lori, we're going to use you as an example.
Okay,
you came into this world, Lori, the day you were born. You will leave this world, Lori, the day you leave. In between, you will have been daughter, wife, mother, employer, employee, coach, coachee, mentor, mentee. You're going to play roles that overlap. But the biggest and most important one is the one we lose sight of, you. Knock that shit off. Get serious about taking care of you first.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell I get up on a soapbox on that one.
Yeah, and you know what? Keep going.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because that actually is my goal for this year, is taking
Good.
Care of myself. So, yeah, I absolutely hear you. I've been great at taking care of other people. Great at that. But
you know,
myself,
Yeah, and I liken this. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs as well, and especially, you know, what we call, and I'm putting it in air quotes, the transformational, heart-centered, the ones who do the soft services like you're working on and like I work in. And they get caught up in this whole, you know, and I want to call it the starving artist mentality, where it's like, oh, no, I want to give because I want to give. No, damn it. You're a business. And if your lights aren't on and your doors aren't open, you're not serving a damn person. If you're not taking care of you, you're not taking care of anybody else. You've got to have good boundaries. You've got to take care of you first. You've got to make those appointments for getting your exercise, eating healthy, self-care, quiet time, because it serves no one when you're crashing and burning, number one. Number two, you have so much more to give when you come first. Period.
I agree. Yeah, I look at the issues just with, let's say, a lack of sleep. It's hard to be your most loving self, your most patient or compassionate self or whatever for someone else when, you know, you're going on less sleep than your body requires, you know, and even your spirit requires. So,
you know,
and that's just one example.
You know, and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to stand up and I'm going to own this. We're going to do a little 12-step here, maybe three of the 12 for me. I don't have time for the full 12. But I'm going to stand up and I'm going to own it. You said this is your year for it.
Mm-hmm.
My husband put it on my calendar for this year.
Wow.
I got called on the carpet on this one.
Man.
Had some health issues that showed up around Christmas time. And when you've got somebody in your home quoting you to you.
Yikes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say it's easy. I'm not going to say it happens all the time. I'm not going to say I'm perfect at it. But damn it, if I can get to 80% accuracy on this, what an amazing life. What an amazing life.
I agree.
Life. Yeah. So we don't want perfection, ladies. Gentlemen, too, we just want you to keep moving in the right direction. That's what we're aiming for.
Exactly.
So when people offer assistance, don't do the, no, I've got this. Step back, bite your damn tongue, smile and say, yes, please, thank you.
What a great message.
Yeah.
It's true, and that's, you're exactly right. I mean, people, and I'll use, you know, myself, you know, something's offered and I tend to say, oh, that's okay, thank you, or whatever, and you know, sometimes later I could really kick myself, but
right.
But
yeah,
it's true, like you say, bite your tongue, and
it's
uncomfortable, you know.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable as hell for those of us who are caregivers by nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a common role that we step into. But you know what? Think about when you're offering your desire to assist someone else. It's a gift. And when somebody is offering you that and you say, never mind, no thank you, I've got it, you're basically saying, take that lovely shiny package and stick it somewhere else. I don't want it.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe somebody else would like it, but not me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not easy, and I am an overachieving, obsessive compulsive control freak, so I get it. I'm the poster child for this.
Well, that's why it makes us the best ones to talk about it.
Right? So, yeah, I get it. I totally get it. It's not comfortable. It's not easy. Damn it. They may not load the dishwasher the way you want it, but it'll get loaded.
Exactly. And the dishes will get clean just the same.
Yep. So smile, bite your damn tongue, and say, yes, please, thank you. Accept those gifts.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more. Mm. And thank you for helping us find the humor in it, too, because that's, you know, that's one of the things that gets me through each and every day, no matter what I have going on in my life, is the humor thing. And, I think that it's such great medicine, and it just really helps, really helps.
Oh, it does. It does. Frankly, you know what? Life is too short to take it so seriously. And I worked in healthcare. The human by design is just an amusing creature. That's
sure.
All I'm going to say. All I'm going to say. But yeah, you know what? It's going to help you. It's going to help you deal with the things that come up. And one of the things, and I wanted to touch on this from a caregiver perspective, when you're looking at that loved one who's declining into impaired cognitive function, you have to stop. Grab a sense of humor. Step into it with them. Stop trying to make them respond in the way that you think that they should. Stop trying to make them respond as who they have been, because that's not who they are now. Have fun. And I'm not saying mock your loved one.
No, I realize
in my
that.
Family that happens. I remember telling my dad at one point when his leukemia was really bad and he was very frail. He was not following instructions. And I looked at him and I said, old man, I swear to God, I'm going to dress you in women's clothing and push you around in a wheelchair and tell people you are the oldest cross-dresser we've ever known. And you won't be able to do a damn thing about it. Or you can get up and walk.
Your choice.
Your choice. Your call. I'm going to let you make this one.
Yeah, right.
No, in all seriousness, grab a sense of humor. Have fun with that person because they appreciate the lightheartedness. It is frustrating on both ends to try and hold them accountable to who they were. That person is there for flits and moments at best.
Exactly.
Learn who this new person is.
Good point.
And relate to them as who they are now. And I have some beautiful experiences with friends, parents, as they were going through this. With my own grandmother, it was not as beautiful because I didn't get to spend much time with her until the very end. But, you know, I look at this and I just think, what bliss to be free of the past and to experience every moment as new, even if it's the same thing over and over again. What bliss. What bliss, because every moment has the potential for something amazing. It's like working with a 2-year-old again. They're fabulous.
And thank you. I'm going to state again what you said because I just think it's incredibly powerful. Learn who this new person is. And relate to them as they are now. I mean, wow. Even if we just did that one thing, imagine. I mean, and that's in a way taking care of ourselves too, because it takes the stress off of, like you were saying, trying to live in the past. Live in the moment. I mean, that's the basic message. Live in the moment.
Yeah, and I've seen so many friends go through the frustration of, you know, damn it, I told my mother 18 times today that she needs to turn off the, you know, fill in the blank, whatever.
Right.
Okay, stop. Number one, that's not your mom anymore. And I'm going to use this particular person's mother's name. That's Lizzie. Learn who Lizzie is. Mom doesn't exist as you knew her. Find out what Lizzie likes. And Lizzie had a wicked sense of humor. Oh, my word. Lizzie asked me to find her. She was in her 80s at the time. And she was asking me to find her a man. And I said, do you want an 80-year-old or a 90-year-old? She goes, oh, sweet Jesus, they don't know what to do. Find me 2 45-year-olds.
I love it.
And I will never forget that. And I looked at her and I said, if I find 2 45-year-olds, I'm keeping one.
Exactly. What are you thinking?
But bless her heart. And you know what? She was in her 80s. Her 60-year-old son was so upset about that conversation.
Oh.
And I pulled him aside and I said, that's Lizzie. That's not Mom. And Lizzie is amazing. And she's hysterically funny. And she's wickedly humorous.
Oh, my gosh.
Get to know Lizzie. She's an amazing person.
And not for nothing. That was super creative.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. A riot and amazing. Wow-wee. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, the humor really, really is so beneficial.
And those are going to be the memories when the inevitable happens that will carry you. Not the memories of being frustrated because they don't remember how to tie their shoe, or that they needed to turn off the television, or that they asked you 15 times what your name was. Those are the memories that are going to carry you.
Wow. Powerful. Oof. Wow. All right, any other pearls of wisdom?
You know, I think caregivers, frankly, you know, put yourself in the center, find a sense of humor about this, learn to relate to this new person in this circumstance. And for the love of God, band together, share with each other. Because when you're out of that caregiver role, again, when the inevitable has happened, this is the lessons in joyful living. This is the conversation I close almost every single radio show with. When you find that space, turn around and share it. There's somebody else out there who's having to do the heavy lifting in their world because they don't have the experience or the exposure that you have. Give back. Give back. Find a way to give back, whether it's through volunteering through hospice, whether it's taking the aged neighbors across the street a casserole. Give back. Create that sense of community. We have become so disjointed, so detached in this constant communication electronic world that we live in, yet we are getting farther and farther apart. I think I've just solved all of life's problems today, haven't I?
I think so. We're good. Well, that's one thing that I do like about all these different tools and methods, whatever you want to call them, ways of being, you know, ways of choosing how to be. And it's just so life-enhancing in every area. And in this topic, you know, which is such a tough one, if we could at least get the most good out of it that's possible, because there is at least some good in it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, maybe not when you get to the, you know, the end levels. So I know we went that stretch with my grandmother. And at the end, you know, that last while, it's really hard to see any kind of good. There's no doubt. But luckily, my mom isn't there yet, not even close, and there's still a lot of good to be had, a lot of good to be experienced, and lots of love, lots and lots, and thankfully, she has a great sense of humor. So, you know, and we all do, actually, but, you know, so that really is a big help.
And that's, you know what, it's important to understand none of us is going to make it out of this alive. Each one of us has a different exit strategy. I worked in healthcare for a very long time, and it's funny because so many of the nurses that worked for me over the years eventually migrated into hospice, which is a big, big part of my world in that I've given a lot of time, effort, and energy to that cause because I do believe hospice is a wonderful tool and concept. And I've had this conversation from back when I was in my 20s. You know, if you could choose how you exit, what would it be? And you'd be surprised at how some people will pick one thing and you'll raise an eyebrow and think, oh, sweet Lord, not in a million lives would I pick that one. But that is the ultimate sort of balancing act for all of us, is that is how we all, that is the outcome. The process is what we're here doing, but that is the ultimate outcome for each and every one of us. And they're varied and different, and I come from a very spiritual perspective, and as you know, I'm a psychic and medium, and I'm going to go on record as saying we choose our exit strategy before we even come here.
I absolutely agree.
We do. Yes. We absolutely do. And as an illustration, I'll just briefly, my father, who had a quintuple bypass the year before he passed, was cured from chronic myelitic leukemia, was a brittle diabetic, the man was circling the drain for years. He was not a healthy human being. For years before he died, he and I were planning his funeral. And he sat there and would tell me, when the time comes, I need you to make the tough decision because your mother won't and your sister can't, and I need you to understand your sister won't be there. And I'd smile oh so sweetly and say, you know, we all deal with this in our own way, and whatever she chooses to do is perfect with her. And in my head thinking, for the love of God, the least she can do is be there. She's never gone to an oncology appointment, cardiology, anything. She just, it was too hard for her. And I'm not judging her now, but boy, was I judging her then. And when the time came and we extubated him in the emergency room and we made the choice to let go, I kid you not, here he and I had that conversation multiple times. Wow. I was the one who made the decision to extubate him because my mother couldn't and my sister wouldn't. And it was 2 hours post-extubation and last rites, and he was still breathing on his own. And my sister stood up in a full panic, came over and grabbed me, not my mom, and said, I can't be here. I'm not supposed to be here. I need to leave. Wow. Please. Please. And all of that time, I thought if she did it, I would absolutely punch her in the head or something. I don't know. She's my sibling. I can do that. I turned to her husband, and I said, Michael, please take her. Please take her out of here. And my dad took his last breath 4 minutes later.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what happened, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Ooh, she was probably stressing him out to the max, you know. Mm.
And for those of you who lament you weren't there or you were there or you stepped out for a drink or you stepped out for self-care and this loved one chooses or chose, if it's a past tense, to pass alone, trust me. These choices were made long before you even got here.
And that's so true. So many people carry guilt.
Yeah.
That's a great message. Thank you. I'm going to say thank you.
You're welcome. Everything. And I've seen that happen so many times where, you know, the family of 10, everybody sits bedside vigil and they're, you know, all taking turns. And then the doctor steps in and pulls everyone out for literally 2 minutes. And the loved one chooses to exit then.
It's true. You hear so many different stories, so many variations.
Yeah.
Wow. So. That is beautiful. Hmm. Wow. Well, thank you so much. I mean, you've really just added lots of pizzazz to our day. And yet, like I was saying, so many pearls of wisdom. So I don't know how you make that combination happen or work, but you certainly have a unique style for it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. So would you like to talk about your free gift?
Absolutely. I am going to be offering, for those who so graciously will receive, 30 Lessons in Joyful Living. It's a pre-release, unedited. And let me just stop right here. I have an unhealthy relationship with a semicolon. I know, don't email me. My editor has already told me. Don't judge. Just enjoy the content. It's really not that bad. But it's the pre-release, unedited version of my latest book, and it's 30 Lessons in Joyful Living, Tools, Tips, Inspirations, and Affirmations designed to help you live joyfully now. And it's based on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. If you're not getting your basic needs met, you cannot expect to expand your world in spirituality and transcendence if you're living in an unhealthy environment. Or if you have unhealthy choices physically going on. So this really is being done. It's part of a bigger piece of work that's 365, but I don't want to give you guys a 5,000-page book. So we cut it down to 30 to start off with. And just read through it in any way you need to. Make it a meditation. Take on a practice. Find the area you need improvement in. And just start utilizing the tools. I tell people all the time, I get stopped every so often. It's, oh, my God, Kimberly, you look beautiful. What did you do today? I put the makeup on as opposed to leaving it in a drawer. when you use the tools, I'm telling you, they work. They work. So apply them. Apply them, utilize them, and by all means, I'd love to hear how they impact your life.
Definitely. Wow. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Excellent. Yeah, that's so true of a lot of things. I know I've certainly, had my share of guilt over that, too. Like you say, you have something and you just don't bother to use it. Hello.
Uh-huh.
That's the purpose.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
And, you know what? And no judgment. Don't stop beating yourselves up for what you do and you don't do. Just shoot for 80%. Perfection is not an option. And if you find you're falling short, try a little bit more. Try a little bit more. That's all. Put a little more effort.
Love it. A little more elbow grease.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you. Well, you sure did share a lot with us.
I believe in giving content. And being a show host, I have trouble stopping myself. So.
Well, that's okay. Benefactors. We're not having a problem with that one at all. So thank you.
You're welcome. The hard part was not turning the tables and starting to give you the interview. So thank you for reining me in.
you were fine yourself, trust me.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. That was incredible, Kimberly. Wow.
Very
and
welcome.
I'm so grateful that you tuned in today, and I hope you are too. I know that hearing from Kimberly today has raised my vibration, and I'm trusting that it has also raised yours. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Kimberly, very, very much.
Thank you.
Peace and blessings, everyone. Take care for now.